Welcome to It Takes a Village, sponsored by Felician Village, a senior living community celebrating active lifestyles. Visit us online at FeliciaNVillage.org.
And today we welcome Tiana, Director of Rehabilitation at Felician Village and Greenfield Rehabilitation Agency. Hey, welcome.
Thank you.
Say, what are things that everyone should be aware of when it comes to this heat and their health?
Oh, gosh. I would say in general, just, you know, the symptoms of what heat illness can look like and the progression through the stages of it, from cramps to exhaustion to heat stroke. Also things like what medications are you on? How does that impact, you know, your own response to the heat, as well as how to store your medications? And just really identifying if you are in a vulnerable group to heat illness.
So you say there are stages to heat illness. What are those?
Yeah, so starting off, generally the lightest, least impactful are just basic muscle cramps. So feeling like there's a muscle or a spasm in your leg, or oftentimes it's our calf or thigh, something like that. But muscle cramps, and then it can progress. So, you know, if we don't kind of take care of that, then we can go into heat exhaustion. Heat exhaustion includes things like more of a pale, moist skin, nausea, vomiting, just all those GI symptoms, headache, weakness, even things like having a fever. And with this, with the exhaustion part, they look at a fever of 100.4, and just feeling faint. And then the most serious stage, kind of that last stage, is heat stroke. So certainly we still have a lot of those symptoms from the other two. But one thing that's kind of different is that the skin becomes dry, more warm and dry. And that can potentially signal that the body is not sweating anymore. The body sweats in an effort to cool down, and so we can understand why not sweating would be, you know, an issue with the heat stroke.
Sure.
Also, a fever over 104 degrees. So just little changes from just exhaustion to the heat stroke. And change in mentation, so being confused, being more lethargic. And it can get as serious as even bringing on seizures.
Okay. Remedies for this?
Basic things that we all enjoy doing, right? We move to the shade, we sit by the fan, we utilize our air conditioning, things like that. Drinking fluids, and, you know, if you know you're going to be out in that excessive heat, sports drinks like your Gatorade or Powerade, things like that, those tend to have some sugar and some salt in them, and that can help replace electrolytes. So the electrolytes that we hear doctors talk about, those things are needed for our muscle function, our brain function, and really just our neurological function, how we, you know, regulate our temperature, how we sweat, things like that.
Sure. And you were also talking about storing medicines. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So, you know, we don't necessarily think about as we're out camping this time of year or going for drives and we have our pills in our purse, that heat can interact with your medications. So it can degrade and or damage the medication so that it is no longer working the way it was intended for. It can also increase a person's sensitivity to sunlight. So, you know, for example, some antibiotics will increase your risk of a sunburn or a sun rash being out in the sunlight while you're on a course of that medication. And then it can also impact the delivery mechanism of the medication. So things like an EpiPen or insulin, you know, just how those medications are actually put into the body, that mechanism, you know, can be damaged from excessive heat. So like I said, you know, keeping things in a car, a hot car, that kind of thing.
Sure. So, and these are important to know.
Definitely, yeah. So just understanding how to support, you know, store your medications as you're traveling, as you go out for a lunch or a picnic, you know, maybe inside your picnic cooler, that's where you'd keep your medications.
Sure.
And those would all be things that you could reach out to your pharmacist or your doctor and just clarify if you know that there's going to be a heat wave and you're going to be out and about in the weather.
Yeah, that's good to mention. Also, you mentioned heat sensitivity for medications. Are there symptoms that you should kind of be aware of?
Yeah, so heat sensitivity is one of them. But medications can also impact other things. So we talked about, you know, having to replenish our electrolytes. Medications can impact our electrolyte balance. So, you know, that can be on top of, you know, what the heat is already doing to our bodies. And so that's important to know. Certain medications can reduce our sensation of thirst. You know, so we have this false sense of feeling that we're not thirsty when indeed we are. Decreased swelling, reduced blood pressure, and just interfering with the body's automatic thermoregulation system, right? That's kind of where those fevers come into, I was referencing.
Sure.
And all of those, you would be able to, again, reach out to your pharmacist or doctor and really get an understanding. As I was kind of looking at this, pulling it together, a lot of medications have an impact on heat and how it can impact your body. So it would be good to investigate that.
Who's the most vulnerable when it comes to heat illness?
You know, we always hear about not leaving our children in cars, right? If we run an errand or things like that. I would go so far as to say not leaving our elderly in the cars either. So what I'll hear is, you know, I like to take my loved one for a ride as I run errands. It gets them out of the house, and they like to, you know, people watch, you know, in the parking lot or whatever. During this heat wave, when it's really hot, those aren't the best times to have them in the car either. And then again, just those of us that are on those medications, you know, and really understanding how those medications might impact your tolerance to the heat or not.
Yeah. What is there anything else we can do when it comes to the heat?
Definitely. So having a buddy system, you know, just in general, right, for just day-to-day life, just checking in with somebody. Hey, are you up for the day? Yep. In my line of work, I hear a lot of people say, well, my neighbor hadn't heard from me and they came to check on me. You know, so that's a powerful system in place that people just know you're all right. And then also using a service such as the Felician Village at Home. So they, too, offer a daily check-in service to ensure that you are safe. But then they also are a resource in case you need additional assistance.
Good. And information online?
Absolutely. Yep, Felician Village.
Sounds great. Tiana, great little tips, great little advice, just reminders to keep us nice and cool in this warm weather. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to It Takes a Village, brought to you by Felician Village, a senior living community celebrating active lifestyles. Join us again next Thursday at this time, or for more information, go to FeliciaNVillage.org to learn more.